Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I am your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. Today we will talk about two Lenovo events that were back-to-back, happened in Seattle. Those were Lenovo Tech World and Global Analyst Conference. Tech World was a one-day public event for invited media, analysts, partners, and so on. The analyst conference was, of course, NDA only. It was a two-day event for select industry analysts, which I participated. The events featured high-profile Lenovo speakers, including the CEO, YY, the heads of business units, and public personalities, both online and in-person. The most notable invitee was NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang. Obviously, AI was the focus, which is the case nowadays with all the conferences. But Lenovo focused on a few specific things, like hybrid AI, which is combination of AI in the cloud, on the devices, edge, and everywhere else. I think they made a good, compelling argument on why and how they are well-placed to address that opportunity from, you know, product, technology, and services perspective. And also they introduced a new automotive platform working with NVIDIA and also a NVIDIA Blackwell-based system. So all of them were very interesting. But to discuss all of that and analyze these issues, these topics, I would say, I have my friend and fellow analyst, Leonard Lee of NextCurve with me now. Leonard is a well-known figure to all of our audiences. He's regularly been on the show before. Leonard, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Prakash. Good to be on again. It was great spending time with you in Bellevue.
Yeah, it did. It was. And it was rainy and cloudy, but we had a really good time there. A lot of good sessions. And Lenovo guys did not let us breathe at all, right? It was so packed event.
Well, it was hard to tell if it was raining or not because we were indoors all the time, you know? And like you said, they had us on a very, very tight schedule.
Yeah,
there was a lot of content, a lot of interaction. So yeah,
it was all good, very informative. So I mean, the analyst conference was really good, very open discussion, open to suggestions and so on. So yeah. Really loved it. Okay, so Leonard, he's an accomplished analyst. He'll give details on his research areas and where to find all of his research and content towards the end of the show. So let's get started.
Yeah,
let's do it. Sure. Okay, so the first question. So yeah. What is your overall impression of the event?
I thought it was big. It was my first time going to or attending Tech World. Usually, I have a conflict and so I'm not able to make it. And this is the first time that I was able to make it. Unfortunately, they combined it with the Global Industry Analyst Conference.
Yeah.
And that made it feasible because usually that is held at a separate time, separate venue.
Yeah.
And it's only recently that they've had all of the business groups together. So SSG, which is the Solutions and Services Group, IDG, which is the Intelligent Devices Group, which is their largest division. That's the business that has the PC, XR, both commercial as well as consumer.
Yep.
And that largest part of their business. And then they have the Infrastructure Solutions Group, which is ISG.
Yep.
This is only the second time that they've held the analyst event with let's call it a one Lenovo focus, right? Or scope, right?
Yep.
So this is a second iteration of a program that is program format, I should say, that is new.
Yeah, interesting. And this is my first event for both of them, right? Both the Tech World and the analyst event. I thought it was very informative. It was jam-packed with information, a lot of content, some of which we can talk, some which we can't. But it was really informative. And then I want to add that IDG also includes their smartphone products, right? The Motorola smartphones, which is a small but interesting part of the business.
They actually have a lot of things in that business group, you know, workplace technologies, you know, displays, the list goes on and on and on, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and the one Lenovo thing, they kept on emphasizing that, which I think was good.
Yeah.
And it was not just saying, so the way they presented the solutions group and the services group, I think it was kind of well-rounded. They are connected. It's not silos, but they are interworking and other things. So we'll talk a little bit more when once we go into the discussion. But yeah, that's good. So this hybrid AI, I think it makes sense, right? Because obviously not all data can go to where AI is now in the cloud. It makes sense to bring AI also to where data is. And then when you have these disjointed things, you know, things may not work well. So if you have a hybrid approach, which looks at AI in the cloud, on the edge, on the devices, as well as in between on the edge cloud, which I think that's one point that I have that they did not discuss too much. I think there are lots of assets in the edge cloud as well, but nonetheless, they focused on these agents and so on. So, and they are very well placed to, you know, exploit that opportunity because they have solutions on the server side, of course, as well on the edge and in between on the edge server side, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of all of the, let's call them tech providers, tech vendors out there, they have the broadest portfolio. I mean, there's only a few companies out there that have the breadth that Lenovo has, right? And I think that's what makes them unique. Everyone else has kind of shed off bits and pieces, right? Like with HP, you have the laptop and let's call it workspace equipment part of the business, you know, in HPQ. Right. And then you have Hewlett Packard or HPE Enterprises that does all the server cloud edge infrastructure type stuff, right? Software security. And I think even, you know, compared to Dell, you know, their most prominent competitors, they're very different, and they really stand out with mobile. And you brought up mobile, right? I mean, there's this moniker that they have is like that they are pocket to cloud. I mean,
correct. Yes. Yeah.
That I think is important in the context of hybrid AI, where a lot of people think about hybrid AI as AI either on device or in the cloud. But then there's this whole continuum, like you were saying, cloud. Lenovo is huge on edge infrastructure, right? So like you were saying, whether it's a gateway to an edge server, they provide a whole suite of capabilities there, as well as services and all the capabilities to actually deploy that for an enterprise. And that makes everything interesting, right? And obviously with the PC, with all the AI PC talk and the generative AI supercomputing, where Lenovo is really a leader, and they didn't really emphasize that much, which always makes me scratch my head, right? Because the two players out there that have probably the most impressive and you know, long legacy in supercomputing are HP and Lenovo, right? And you know, with the cold, you know, everyone now is talking about liquid cooled cooling, right? Well, you know, Lenovo is kind of a pioneer in that whole space, right? And then now everyone else is kind of bringing that into the fold. But, you know, you heard about Neptune and the whole legacy that they have in supercomputing in terms of number of supercomputing, you know, supercomputing environments that they've put up. They're top of the list.
And it was not just vision. They gave some specific details on, you know, the how this hybrid AI is going to work, right? With enterprise agents and then personal agents working together and so on. So there was a detailed discussion. I think you were there on as well, right? How the architecture of this hybrid AI is going to work. I think that was interesting. So it's not just a thought. They are actually working through and trying to implement it as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this, because I know you, this is your first time at their analyst events.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your impression about their level of innovation and exploration, you know, compared to, you know, others that you're seeing that are playing in the same game?
I think where they are very specific and on where their focus is.
Yeah.
For example, they said, we are not doing anything on the model side, right? So it's purely we work with our US partners and the AI software partners. We, like they said, their initial agents were using Meta's open Llama model.
Yeah.
So they are very specific there. And they're looking at implementing these on their products as well as on through their services. And they were, you know, very focused on enterprises for AI, right? And of course, there is AI PC, but specifically from services perspective, which I think makes sense. And, you know, the analyst event, I really loved the level of in-depth information that they gave. You usually don't get that much in-depth information, you know, unless you go to a developer conference of a major player. So I really loved it.
Right.
I know. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think during the analyst, they talk about eating their own dog food, right? So using their own AI solutions and products for, they are a large enterprise. So using for their own use and getting the benefits from there and showing it as a showcase to their customers. I think I really like that. It is not just trying to sell some vaporware vision, but they're saying, oh, well, these are the things that we actually took it to heart. We worked on our own company, and these are our learnings that you can take from, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things that folks will notice is they learn more about the company, because I think they're really well known for their PCs. Obviously, the ThinkPad is a huge brand.
Of course, yeah.
For them. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, like commercial or enterprise laptops, I mean, that's pretty much what everyone thinks of,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they tend to be quite exploratory and curious, mm-hmm. you know? One of the things that always sticks out for me is the work that Brian Leonard does, and he runs the Innovation Center and doing a lot of the design work with materials and, you know, colors.
Yeah.
I think they've really done wonders with Motorola, mm-hmm. where they've created a distinct identity just from aesthetics.
Yeah.
But then also, so, you know, there's that level, but then also, like what you're saying about AI, they're not going to the level of, you know, building their own models, but they are positioning models like Moto AI mm-hmm. to drive unique Lenovo experiences. And so we're seeing a lot of this with the Chinese, you know, brands. So when we were at IFA, we saw that with Honor, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Honor has also is taking a similar approach. And then, you know, obviously, this is a lot of this activity kind of mirrors what Apple has done with Apple Intelligence, because that's what Apple Intelligence is. It's their own model and AI that's geared towards shaping a unique, let's say, Apple experience. Lenovo's doing that. But again, going back to pocket to cloud, they're really thinking about this from the pocket to the cloud.
Sure.
How do we provide the tooling, but then also the experiential harmony across, you know, the different ways you can engage with AI applications and, you know, interact with them. I think that's one of the things that you can clearly see that they are investing in. And, you know, I think another good example of creating sort of this Lenovo experience is the work that they do with Smart Connect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That, I mean, you know, and also bringing Intel in through Aura Edition on the IPCs.
Exactly.
Basically, providing, I mean, you know, since they're they have bridged a performance gap with Apple. So basically, I think their next opportunity is to have offering both on the consumer as well as on the enterprise side to kind of compete directly with Apple. We'll see how that goes, but it's very aspirational for sure. And also, I liked the innovation world that we went to in Berlin a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was squarely on AI PC, but in this event in Tech World and in the analyst conference, AI PC was still important, but it was just one part. They focused on a lot of enterprise solutions as well as the services, of course, and the products as well. I think that was good. So it gave kind of a full 360 degree view rather than on one side.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and this entering automotive with NVIDIA. So that was interesting, right? So I don't know. Some might say they're late to the market because automotive SoCs and ADAS and other things like bringing tech to automotive has been around for some time. Some might say they're a little bit late, but again, the whole industry itself is starting up now. So I wouldn't call it very late.
Yeah.
The industry is still evolving. So, and they're going with NVIDIA, which is another interesting choice and a choice of vendor.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did lead in with NVIDIA, but I did have a chance to speak with Yong Rui, who is the SVP of Emerging Technologies.
Yeah.
And so he was a former CTO. So now he has, I guess, the fun job.
In his words, right? That's what he said.
You know, there's a new person in that role, Tolga.
Yeah. Tolga.
You know, who, Kurtogul, who is the new CTO.
Yeah.
Really, really, really amazing guy, actually.
Yeah.
Former NASA research scientist. I had a chance to talk with him as well. He's a really, really cool guy.
Yeah.
Leading in with NVIDIA, but one of the things that Mr. Rui made sure that I understood is that they're taking an open approach in terms of partnerships. And, you know, I agree with you, man. I initially thought, wow, these guys are late to the game. But here, the reality is the auto industry and their digital drive is kind of stalled, right? Although, you know, we hear a lot of good news coming out of Qualcomm, where, you know, Qualcomm and the automotive team have really made a lot of traction, capitalizing on this, you know, I think it's like a 30 billion, 35, probably more, you know, design win pipeline.
Yeah.
The way that we should look at the automotive industry and the digital quote unquote transformation drive is that it's stalled a bit, right? You know, this movement toward SDV and re-architecting the vehicle towards zonal architectures, that has really slowed down quite a bit. So I was having a chat with Yong, and we came to this odd place in our conversation where we were talking about how this might actually be a good time, but they're very the way they're thinking about themselves is not as a tier one or a tier zero or a tier two or what have you.
Yeah.
They're really looking at themselves as
tier 1.5, as I said,
integrators, but sort of that. They are system engineers.
Yeah.
So they'll take like a digital chassis, if you will, or whether it's a framework from NVIDIA or it's a framework from NXP or Qualcomm, and they actually implement the chassis. They design it, they implement it in service to the OEMs, right? And that might entail a wide range of partnerships. And so in that way, we kind of need to think about that whole Lenovo automotive play a bit differently, right? Because I think they've done some pretty good thinking around how they're going to position themselves and where they're going to plug in order to not only move the ball, because the ball needs to move, but bringing Lenovo's expertise to the table to also create a nice business for themselves, right?
Correct. Yeah, and I agree that they say it's kind of an open approach they have, and NVIDIA is the probably the first iteration of it. And they did show a slide with you know, Qualcomm and others as their potential partner. So, I think the this, you know, being a tier 1.5, more of a system integrator,
yeah,
it's kind of a different approach, right?
Yeah.
Compared to others, right? So,
yeah.
And obviously it'll be one for China market and the other for non-China. I don't know how that they're going to do, whether it's
common
platform or not. That's what was not really clear. But
that was the other thing that we talked about, because in the China market, there are many silicon players that are offering their own, let's say, form of a digital chassis.
Yeah.
It's a pretty crowded market from the silicon standpoint, and components or modules standpoint, ECU standpoint. But again, I think they might find home anywhere just simply because of how their particular positioning, right? As you mentioned, this open systems integration focused or systems engineering focused, right? Because I think it's more than just integrating things. They're engineering.
Correct. You basically design and taking stuff from different vendors and make sure you first design and integrate and then deliver to.
Right. That's what some OEMs are doing. They're mixing and matching. They're not going all in with one ecosystem, right?
But traditionally, I mean, tier ones were not doing at a system level, but at a subsystem level, right?
So, yeah.
But now with domain architecture, I don't think that alone will work, because having these hundreds of ECUs not going to work, which means you have a different approach. So I think.
Yeah. And again, that whole re-architecting is like really net new, right? That's a huge, huge revamping of the vehicular architecture, right?
In terms of stalling, I don't know whether I would say it has stalled. I mean, it is a slow-moving industry, but it is moving slowly, in my view. You know, the domain kind of approach, it's been talked about for some time, but everybody is, I think, is at a different state in that evolution. And it also depends on whether you are a top-tier OEM versus not, right? If you're top-tier, then... You know, you might be a little further ahead because you have the capital and the margins to invest in all of that. But if you are not, then you know, you got to be careful on how much all these new things you bring into the system. And also, overall, on the when EV was happening, it was much easier because it was a more of an electric and electronic domain rather than mechanical domain. But that kind of has slowed down the electrification. Now there's a lot of interest outside China in hybrids, and some OEMs are starting to make IC engine cars and so on. That I think has muddled the water a little bit.
I mean, it's certainly not moving as quickly as folks anticipated a few years ago. So there's no doubt that, I mean, let's put it this way. If things went the way that people thought it was going to go, all the chip makers would have a much larger automotive business at this point.
I agree. And we would have had millions of level 4 cars on the street today, right? Which is not the case.
Oh, yeah. Or level 6. I mean, they probably like invent something. That's like the robo-taxi stuff, right? It's predictive. Yeah. Not even autonomous, it's predictive driving.
Yeah, correct.
So.
All right, so and then I think another issue that they addressed head on, which I liked as well, is, I mean, on all of the analysts' mind, is there's lots of talk of AI, there's a lot of investment going, but the ROI, and as we all know, almost 90%, even more, of all the AI projects that enterprises are looking at are either in POC, you know, proof of concept or trial stage. And there is this air of uncertainty on how many of them will go from that stage to commercial deployment, right?
Yeah.
And what will be the ROI and other stuff. So yeah. With that, I think they talked about using these on for their own operations and having a suite of applications which makes sense for enterprises and that and some of the learnings from their own implementation. I think that that makes their approach and the thing they're working on and saying more believable rather than just vaporware.
Yeah, you're right. And this is not just unique to Lenovo. We hear it everywhere. Where ROI.
Mm-hmm.
I think a large part of the challenge is that a lot of the, what you hear quite a bit about is how the compute that is being sold,
mm-hmm.
especially in the hyper, you know, the generative AI super computing cloud,
mm-hmm.
A lot of that is either sovereign, you know, we're hearing more and more about sovereign AI.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is government funded, obviously, for purposes of a localized large language model.
Yeah.
Then there's, you hear a lot about research, development, model building.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still, this is a common theme. There's challenges finding the return on investment on actual end user
mm-hmm.
use cases and applications.
Uh-huh.
And Lenovo has the SSG organization. There's like literally a whole section.
Yeah.
It's run by Linda Yao that's focused on accelerating AI adoption. And I think, you know, the way that we should look at AI adoption is that generative AI adoption, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the big problems is everyone just says AI, AI, AI.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different kinds of AI, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that everybody actually quite honestly needs to sell, right, is generative AI. We've already tried to sell as an industry, and to a certain degree, been successful in selling certain varieties of AI.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, the first level of the regular AI, which is kind of smartness and intelligence and first level of machine learning and deep learning, that kind of is, I agree that people are convinced and there are a lot of use cases they're adopting. But I think the larger issue on ROI is on generative AI.
Yeah.
And to be frank, that's where most of the investment is going on as well. So naturally, there is a lot of questions on ROI.
Right, because that's the investment that needs to yield an ROI, right? Like
yeah.
return, and that's been elusive so far.
Yeah.
But I think fundamentally, Lenovo and Linda's team
mm-hmm.
is really focused on just helping a lot of their clients just figure out what quote unquote AI is, and in particular generative AI,
yeah.
and where to start. And I agree with you. One of the benefits they're bringing to the table and they're aiming and are bringing to the table are blueprints to help these customers think through, okay, what are some of the potential applications that may be valuable in certain scenarios or aspects of their business, and then help them map out where do we actually start in deploying this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. operationally, what do we need to get up and going in order to not only implement these generative AI solutions, but also operate them, right?
Yep.
Which you don't hear a lot of people talk about how we can implement it. Very few people talk about the long life cycle of actually managing these things,
yeah.
which also have a tremendous cost
yep.
that hasn't been talked about. I think when you look at what Lenovo is doing is they're trying to answer those questions and then help their customers with that ROI equation so that they can actually solve it.
Yeah.
Right.
Indeed. Yeah. It's kind of, people before investing and buying stuff, they know, okay, these are the things that have actually worked in a in a typical large enterprise environment. So I think that's a lot of value there. So moving on to the phones. I mean, to be honest, I haven't looked at Motorola phones that much because my primary focus is was at least US, and you know, they're not the not in the premium segment. But I think this was the sessions were a revelation to me. So there's a lot of goodness there and a lot of good things happening. I also liked Sergio's direct, clear thinking, right? So he was very specific. And also liked his open answers as well. He was not mincing his words. So you know, that was a you know, interesting session for me. And there are a lot of good things happening there. So right now their focus is for premium segment outside US. But if they position well, they might have a you know, good chance to be third option in US in the premium segment. Right, right now they're mostly in the prepaid and so on. But they have a good foldable product. So if they can, you know, use that platform and try to show that they are a candidate for a premium segment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things you learn about Sergio. He's super pragmatic.
Yeah.
And that's kind of rare, I think, yeah. Where I think he understands where Motorola is positioned at the moment.
Yeah.
And he has a long-term play. And it seems like YY as well as Luca are totally bought into this strategy that Sergio has. But yeah, he makes tough choices. He says no a lot. And I think that's a really good indicator. I mean, I have several conversations with him. He said, no, you know, I don't think we're going to do that. Yeah. We're going to focus on this and that. And then, you know, he has a rationale.
Yeah.
That's smart, but I also think that they've benefited tremendously by building a brand, capitalizing on a lot of the Motorola legacy, and then modernizing it very well.
Yeah,
I have to admit, and you know, their phones in terms of like, going back to styling and the work that Brian Leonard does. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a really, really compelling job. I think they outdo some of the bigger names in terms of putting together a aesthetic experience. Mm-hmm. Their phones are really well made.
Yeah.
I'm testing out a couple of them, and they're very durable. But not only that, they just look really good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So yeah, I've used one. Maybe I'll try their foldable because I've been using foldable for a long time. So, and also, I mean, I talked to Sergio as well. I think one possible opportunity, which I think is large, is they use their enterprise leadership and push through phones for enterprise use cases. You know, with you know, very nice integration with all of the enterprise systems that they have, and you know, that's another interesting opportunity which I pointed to them that they should exploit. You know, rather than just only looking at the consumer and where it takes time to build the brand and the recognition, right? Especially in the US, where the prices are not a major concern because of all the price plans that the operators have.
Yeah, they definitely have an advantage with enterprise, and they did lead in, you know, with Smart Connect.
Yeah,
correct. They led with Think to Think, right?
Correct.
And that really, that first showcase of the cross-device integration and seamless experiences. And with Smart Connect, I mean, I think they've done a really great job. You know, Samsung and others are they're kind of doing the same thing, but I think. My impression is that Lenovo has really dug deep and has clearly recognized the importance of having a branded experience. And I think that's where they've created done a pretty good job of creating that Lenovo abstraction layer on top.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where whether it's, you know, Intel, or Unison, or it's something else, right? Yep. It's you know, Qualcomm's thing, or it's Microsoft's thing. That's all abstracted and really stitched well together across, you know, what they're calling Smart Connect.
Yeah.
And it works really well. I mean, you know, I tried iPhone mirroring iOS 18 and, you know, the latest updates to Apple stuff. And you know what? I was actually kind of disappointed. Cool. And I have that reference, what Lenovo has done and Motorola. And I have to admit, they did a number of things better.
Yeah, I'm more on the, at least right now, Samsung ecosystem. There, I think the working your phone, your watch and laptop, of course, there is huge amount of scope to even do it for, you know, improve it further. But the way it works, pretty nice so far. But I mean, I agree that there is tons of opportunity to do it even more seamless. That's one. And then because of their enterprise, for example, running enterprise applications like, you know, Salesforce and others make the whole enterprise workflow for, you know, either small, medium or even large enterprises very seamless if you're using Lenovo servers and Lenovo phones in the employees and so on, right? So it's even more opportunity for Lenovo than regular.
One of the things I really like about the way Lenovo is in particular thinking about AI in the context of seamless integrations is, you know, the cross-device seamless or harmonious AI experience, which is what Brian Leonard,
correct,
his presentation to us talked about, but is also just has been part of the way that Lenovo is thinking about the Lenovo / Motorola experience. I mean, obviously, it'd be nice if those things were two the same thing, but you know, at the moment, they're not. But regardless, you know, if you can have that seamless experience, beginning with the AI, which is a big problem. It's not an easy problem to solve, right? Then you've cracked a really important nut. And I think, you know, that is something that Lenovo is pursuing. And it's a testament to the curiosity that you see with these guys, you know, this innovative streak that they have in their corporate personality.
Yeah, so the last question... we're almost like 14 minutes now, right? Okay. So the announcement with NVIDIA and this hybrid AI advantage, they also announced, is it called what? It's SC777. It's the water-cooled Blackwell system.
Mm.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, it was a very good proof point for this Neptune water-cooled system using the latest NVIDIA GPU, right?
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, this is not new stuff for Lenovo, right?
Yeah,
they've been doing direct cooling for a long time. They probably have arguably the industry's most advanced, you know, water-cooled server platform.
Yeah,
this is not new for them, which is like, in a way, that's the good news for Lenovo, right? It's like, oh, yeah, we put this out, and guess what? Everyone is, you know, kind of scurrying to get their liquid cool game on. But, yeah, it's all about direct at the moment. But I was last year I was at – actually, it was almost 2 years ago. I was at the DreamWorks Studios, and I saw a – you know, I toured the studio's rendering farm, which is basically all Neptune servers. This is like all these GPUs stitched together to run all these massive rendering jobs. Right? It's all water cooled, and it was weird because you walk in and it's not that loud at all, right? Whereas you go into one. Cool than it's like.
Yeah, cool ones. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. So I think that's all time we had. Leonard, any last minute comments, things that we missed, and a plug for your research and the content?
We probably missed a lot of stuff. That's why you should just pay attention to us and follow our research, because we might drop some additional nuggets around this episode. But yeah, just, you know, check out my research at www.next-curve.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I also have a podcast that Prakash shows up on all the time. It's called Rethink, and it's on YouTube. And you can also find us on Buzzsprout. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, you are, man. You are. All right. Thank you very much, Leonard. As usual, that was a great discussion. And thank you for sharing your insights.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So, folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye-bye for now.